This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 5. I am who I want to be. I have the power to change.
Tell me, what was your IQ when you were little?
I did have the opportunity to take an IQ test as a child. The result was 115 or 125. Or maybe it was 105. Anyways, something with a 5. Maybe just 5.
I got a 240.
I knew it.
In any case, that's the story I like to tell myself.
So what are you doing here?
Good question. That's what I'm trying to find out.
A 240 is an insane number for an IQ.
No. I've never taken an official IQ test. I've just practiced tests from time to time. I got bored very quickly. Oftentimes, I found solutions weren't technically the official solution. That's why I think I'm either too intelligent for these tests or I don't concentrate enough while taking them.
I think it's quite good that you never did an official test.
Because otherwise I would know how overly intelligent I am?
Well, imagine if the result was really 240. If I imagine I had an IQ of 240, I would feel under constant pressure. I'd feel like I had to be the greatest genius on earth all the time.
Definitely.
So what do I do when I don't know or can't do something?
You'd get into trouble with yourself and your stories. There'd be an incongruence between what you experience and the stories you tell yourself.
What does the story sound like in my head as it plays out?
It could be different stories that you hear. One could sound like this. I am the greatest genius and the others don't even realize it. They behave so strangely. Maybe they're just too stupid.
Do you think you could extrapolate what would have happened in your social environment?
You mean if I had actually taken an IQ test and a genius result like that had come out? I probably would have become insufferable.
Good to know.
That's why I'm really glad that I never did it. I quickly realized that these intelligence test tasks are something I will probably never learn. You need a lot of concentration to do them. It's also a matter of practice to concentrate on them. That wasn't for me.
Isn't the point of these tests that you can't practice them? I thought I couldn't fake these tests because they're supposed to test how intelligent I really am.
I think I can influence the result through practice.
You're probably right. Back when I took this test, there were actually people who scored with an IQ of 130 or 160. That's very close to genius level. My score wasn't bad, and not really great either. I didn't feel pressured afterwards. My story was more like this. Well, if I'm not naturally as intelligent as others, I will just compensate with something else. I will learn more, work harder, and educate myself. That's what motivated me. It pushed me.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I think it was actually very helpful. The result of an IQ of 240 I can well imagine as a mental fuck-up. It might not be that easy to deal with.
Let's turn the whole thing around. Imagine you have a bad day when you take the test. Your result is 80 points total. An IQ of 80 is below average. How would your life have been then? What would your story sound like?
Wow. That could have turned into a self-fulfilling prophecy. When someone tells me as a child, "You have an IQ of 80. That's below the norm." The stories in my head sound more like, "The other kids are smarter than me, and I'm not as good as others." Perhaps then that story will eventually become true, and I will end up a failure, simply because I told this to myself and did that stupid test at the wrong time.
I don't necessarily have to take an IQ test to certify that my children have a low IQ. If I keep telling my children, "Well, silly you, what stupid thing did you do again today?" Or, "I know you don't understand. You're too little." I may be leading them to a narrow mindset. They then start telling themselves the following story. "I don't understand it because I'm a silly girl. I'm just too slow."
It was the same with you. You were told that you were super intelligent and therefore good at math, but bad at sports.
Right. I was good at math. That's why everyone thought I was bad at sports. At school, I actually was.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the way it was until you decided otherwise.
Doing the high jump made me realize that I wasn't bad at sports at all. I was tall and could just walk over to the bar, jump over it, and get a good score.
A lot has happened on this topic in science in the last 10 years. There is the concept of neuroplasticity. What is that?
I don't think I'll ever understand what that is.
Clever. I better watch what you say. So, neuro to me means nerves and brain, the mass inside my head and its extensions. Plasticity means that it's shapeable. In the past, it was assumed, and this is what I learned in school, that this mass is more intelligent for some people and less intelligent for others. That's the way it is, and that's the way it would always be. That was the story I was told. The world assumed that the brain, once it is fully grown, is the way it is. It is structured and interconnected with certain talents, language, and so on. Now, science has realized that this belief was bullshit. It turned out that the brain is indeed malleable, and up to old age. So there are indeed methods to train intelligence. Today, the story that I believe sounds like this. I have an IQ of 80, and if I want to, I can get to an IQ of 160.
That's big. I can suddenly decide for myself which story I believe and tell myself. Of course, it's easy to say, I have an IQ of 80. That's the way it is. That's the way it stays. So I don't have to make any effort at all. It's easier for me, for the teachers, for the parents, and for my boss. I'm just a silly person. There's nothing I can do about it. If I decide to believe the other story, it means I can learn to be intelligent. That's naturally more strenuous than remaining stupid.
And we're back at cause and effect. In the first story, or mindset, I am the victim at effect. The circumstances, the world, nature, the others are to blame for everything. In the other story, I am at cause. When I am in that state of mind, then I have the opportunity to change things. My mindset tells me that I will use these possibilities and work on my result if I want to. I can make something of the situation. I can change it. Then I will also achieve a different result next time.
Previously I said, it's exhausting. Of course this is again a decision I made.
Yes, exactly. If you want, it feels exhausting.
It's my decision to say, this offers me many chances, or this makes it easier for me, is a decision. Everything becomes much easier when I can suddenly decide for myself who I want to be, who I am, and which stories I believe. That's great.
That's the genius of it. I can choose all that myself. I can choose how I see things, what I feel, what state I'm in, and what feelings I have. If a client says to me, this feels exhausting for me, I ask, how would it feel if you imagine it's easy for you? I ask clients to remember something that felt easy in their lives and help them transfer that feeling. There is a copy and paste command for feelings. I can just transfer that feeling from one context to another, and suddenly something that was previously exhausting feels light. I can choose my feelings. This is one of the biggest lessons I have learned in my life so far. How does it work for you?
Copy and paste. That sounds good. At first, I asked myself the question of how to do it. Once I'm convinced that it works, it becomes very easy. Then I just do it. Copy and paste. It's so simple.
There are good NLP methods for that.
Yes, it's totally easy.
How does all this help me as a manager? This is chief of anything. So what?
Who do I lead as a manager? First and foremost, I lead myself. Then I lead my employees. And then I lead everyone around me with whom I communicate. Leadership is the ability to communicate. So if I'm convinced that it's easy to change myself and to control my emotions, I can easily start doing so. I tell myself, I can easily adapt and change.
Then I can also choose how I feel in situations where I may have felt uncomfortable before, perhaps in circumstances where I had previously felt uncomfortable in dealing with other people. Let's take a staff meeting that didn't go so well. I am totally annoyed. The first step is to realize that I am annoyed, because after I have observed this, I can make a choice. I can either decide to continue having this feeling and allow the feeling to control me, or I can decide to use the copy and paste command and replace the feeling with another feeling that has a more positive impact on the outcome. I decide to be above feelings, to have superiority in situations. I can rise above a feeling and simply choose another one. I suddenly deal with an employee in a completely different way and am able to communicate with him or her in a new context than I do when I am annoyed. The result is much better, all because I decided not to feel the way I was programmed, but to choose a more purposeful feeling. The whole thing is a concept that can be expressed in a simple formula. E plus R equals O.
I know that. This is Einstein's.
Yeah, something like that. The letters stand for E equals event. The R stands for response, my response to this event. The O stands for outcome, or the result I get from my response. There is a very famous insight shared by Viktor Frankl, who wrote about prisoners in Nazi concentration camps who held the belief that no matter what happens, no matter what event occurs, they always have a choice of response. In a superior mindset, I know that I always have a choice of R. I always have the ability to choose my response. I have responsibility with which I determine the outcome. It is not the circumstance that determines the outcome. It is the response that I choose which determines the outcome. Unbelievably powerful. From a philosophical point of view, I think we are along the subject lines of free will.
Crazy.
Everyone has trigger buttons like this. My wife, my parents, and my children know them very well. They have an impressive gift for pushing them very specifically.
There's always one who pushes the buttons, and one who's allowing for them to be pushed.
I gladly admit that. When that happens, it's a special challenge for me to choose the R myself instead of surrendering to everything. Then I always think of the formula E plus R equals O. There is an event that happens, completely triggering me. I would love to freak out. Instead, I choose my R to get the result I want to have. Because if I don't do that, I get a result that is influenced from outside of myself. Then I'm back at effect and resigned to circumstances, thus becoming a victim. I do not want that. I choose to be the leader in my life and to get the results that I want. So I consciously decide for an R of my choice, an R that serves the purpose of what I want to achieve. Because I am at cause of every O in my life.
If I look at this formula mathematically, I realize that for every E, that is, for every event, there's an R, or an answer, from me. From this follows that every event and every answer of mine results in an O, an outcome, which I influence. So every O is determined by me.
That's right.
This means that the result is completely independent of the outer world.
That's right.
My favorite saying is, happiness is a decision. I decide to be happy, regardless of the external circumstances.
Buddhist monks are the absolute world champions in this. They just sit there and meditate day in, day out, for 20 years, and just feel happy and content, simply because they choose to do so.
Well, I don't really need to sit and meditate like that. I can also get in contact with the outside world. The important thing is that I make myself aware that the world and my emotional state are linearly independent.
I don't understand that. Yet.
This is difficult.
I'll choose to understand it in a moment.
I ask again. How can I use this as a leader?
Basically, in any situation where something or someone is getting on my nerves, for me, that's the essence of the subject. I can decide in every situation how I feel and thus skillfully influence the result in my favor. This is always better than someone else determining the result.
I can choose from a large pool of reactions. You know the saying, if the only tool I have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail? If the only reaction I have as a boss is to verbally scream or shout, then I don't get very far with that. If, on the other hand, I simply keep quiet, smile, and realize that I can get a better outcome with flexibly choosing a behavior that is expedient for the outcome I want, then I can go much farther. I've had a team member suddenly say to me, "All right, I get it," merely because of me smiling at him, without saying a word. Doing so was uncomfortable at first, but it did create a better outcome for both of us.
I just try a different R in the equation of E plus R equals O. I try new R's to find out how my outcome changes.
Right. That's a lot of fun.
What do we choose now?
We choose now to be super happy and to move on.
Leading myself.
I'm beginning to understand why there's so much talk about the responsibility and true capabilities of managers. You might think that being a boss is quite easy. I simply delegate all tasks and enjoy the good life. The real challenge is to constantly maintain mental superiority. Leadership means self-reflection, sensitivity, and self-control. It is my job to constantly deal with myself and the people I lead, to exercise response ability at all times, and to behave purposefully. It is a very rational task that also requires dealing with many emotions. This is the real challenge as a people leader, a task much more difficult than just managing a full desk.
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.